Thank you. Hello. 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 Yes, hello. My name's Sonia. I'm an addict.
Hey, Sonia.
Yeah, very nervous. Well, gosh, rather a lot of people in here. And when the readings were going on, I was trying to listen to them, but you know, my head was getting quite busy, and I was thinking, what really am I that nervous about? And I'm going to sit here in front of this many people and tell this many people honestly as I can, you know, about myself and about my story. And when I first, you know, in my using and when I first came into recovery, you know, I wouldn't tell anyone anything about myself, you know, that kind of just being so, so deeply ashamed. And, you know, I'd kind of make up stories, I'd nick other people's stories, I'd boast, I'd embellish things, and just rather than tell anyone anything about myself, because you know, just assumed that no one would accept me. And I came, you know, where should I? I'm really tired, you know, I'm working really, really hard at the moment, I am following my dreams, you know, which is something that, you know, I never even thought I had dreams in my addiction, you know, and coming into recovery and kind of letting myself dream, and then find, you know, just my kind of world opening up, opportunities opening up, and it still doesn't really even register, you know. I kind of have to do my gratitude list in the morning to kind of make it register that, you know, that I'm actually doing these things. And I was born in a small town in between Stoke and Manchester, and you know, home life, I've kind of, through looking back at it, I realised that it wasn't absolutely terrible and it wasn't absolutely wonderful. You know, there were terrible things in it, and there were also happy memories in it. You know, it wasn't that black and white. It, you know, like all of kind of life stuff and people, you know, there's kind of a lot of grey areas. And it's taken me a while to realise that. You know, I didn't have I wasn't, I know my mum wasn't, you know, about as much as I wanted her to be. And my dad was quite angry, and you know, I struggled with feelings as a kid. You know, I kind of really, really wanted to feel loved. I felt, you know, I struggled with feeling lonely, and I just kind of struggled with the kind of people thing, you know, communication bit. And I was always really quite extreme in my behaviour, kind of going from working really hard and being really good to being really naughty, and I kind of got naughtier and naughtier and naughtier, and my parents couldn't really cope with it, and so when I was 13, they said, "Well, do you want to move into the shed in the back garden?" I was like, "Yes, and now I can really use." So all my mates started coming round, and my using started off then, you know, every day, and it was great to start with, you know, near Manchester, rave scene and all that, you know, it was great. And but then really, really quickly, I just, you know, became incredibly paranoid. You know, that thing of kind of keeping the door shut, the curtains closed, holding your breath, you know, just in case someone's knocking, and, you know, all that stuff. And you know, I kind of, looking back on it, it was, I think, you know, I had a breakdown really, and I decided that I just had to leave. I just had to leave my hometown, and so I tried going to university, and I was really miserable and paranoid. And so, you know, I left university just really, really not having a clue. You know, kind of having this messed up head. You know, still feeling like I was on acid constantly. And I went and lived on the streets. I thought, you know, I can remember the first time that I met someone who was using heroin, and they were kind of in this really dark room, you know, kind of like under a blanket like that. And now looking back, they were clucking, and the curtains were drawn, and it was all really grimy and horrible. And I just thought, oh yeah, that looks great. And I decided that this one lad who looked particularly ill, he was going to be my boyfriend. And so I kind of got was homeless and doing a lot of gear by the time I was sort of 19, 20, and my 20s progressed quite rapidly. By 19 I was flat out, and I'd try, I kind of had this little kind of quest in my head that I was going to save the world, and I was going to live on traveller sites and protest sites and all this. And most of the time it wasn't like I pictured it. It wasn't this fantasy of kind of love, peace and harmony and saving the world. It was kind of me slumped at the bottom of a tree in a K-hole off using in bushes and all that kind of stuff. And so occasionally the best I could do was to kind of get a trailer on site, and not even that would last long. And then I was back sleeping in shop doorways, and for years, begging, stealing, in and out of prison, all that that comes with it. And I'd kind of tell myself that some of the ways that I made money were kind of quite esteemable, burglary was more esteemable than begging, just kind of madness like that. And having really, really no respect for myself or anyone else. And when I was 27, I got arrested and was in Holloway Prison. And they came through in the morning at night to kind of put us breakfast pack through. And they were like, oh, there's an extra milk for the pregnant one. And it was just like, oh, no. Oh, my God. Yeah, right, okay. And, I didn't even really know who the dad was. I hoped it was my boyfriend, but it could have been my dealer. It was a bit like that. And and thankfully, it was my boyfriend. And I had my son. And when I left, it was a heartfelt promise to myself and to everyone else that I was going to stop using. I really meant it. And I left prison, and I kind of gave up crack and alcohol and all that, but just couldn't stop. Yeah, and it was always like, oh, tomorrow, next week, when I've done this, when I've done that, blah, 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 blah. And my little boy was born addicted to heroin, and, I didn't know how to cope with feelings anyway. For me, it was just stop it, stuff it, fill it, whatever, just get rid of it. And how much I loved my son and how guilty I felt, and really, really not really, I ended up, being on gear and that, but also exercising manically, eating manically, just really, really, really quite mad. And I wanted more than anything to be a good mum, and I just was just, and I'd kind of do the right things, I'd read him stories and get him those clothes and that, but now I also took him to really, really dangerous places, and justified it to myself. And and when my son was three, I had him taken off me by police, and I'd tell you, because this is not how I wanted to be behaving, and now I'm in recovery. Do everything I can for my son to kind of be there for him. But I took him to a graveyard where people were using, and my mate went over and I gouged out, and the police turned up. And if I'd felt scared and lonely and all that enough as a kid, looking back and and I'd promised myself that I would not be my parent, and then looking back and seeing that I'd million folded it over onto my little boy was just, just awful. And oh God, really? Oh, fine, yeah. Right. And so basically came into, went downhill, tried to see my son, couldn't came in, then came into recovery, and wanted it so much, was really scared of it. Just knew that I could, you know, it really, really was a choice of kill myself or have a go at recovery. And, you know, I was lucky enough to go into treatment. And for me, when I got there, it was such a relief. I remember, you know, I took a parcel into treatment with me, but I remember hearing this thing about honesty, and I was like, no, you know what, I really, really want this. And I flushed it. And for me, it's been a lot about, you know, kind of that first day when I decided not to use, it was like, I know it sounds a bit train spotting, but like, it was like, this is my first time I'm going to choose life. And since then, it's been like, you know, what's the decision in this? Do I choose life? Yes. Do I choose life? Yeah. You know, do I choose to turn up for my son and be there? Yeah. You know, do I choose to take care of myself? Because if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of anyone else. And, yeah. And do I choose to follow my dreams? Yeah. And, you know, and it's been just extraordinary. When I came in, I was feral. You know, I would sit... I'd sit with my kind of legs bunched up like that, and you know, I didn't know how to eat, didn't know how much to sleep, didn't know any of that stuff, didn't know how to be on people, found it incredibly difficult to talk and look people in the eye, and you know, that kind of deep level shame. And it's been about doing esteemable things, you know, doing service and just trying to go through the fear, you know, kind of pray for courage. And spirituality is massive for me. You know, I spend quite a bit of time every morning praying and then meditating. And, you know, that has just been absolutely essential because, you know, that just that hole that wants filling constantly. And a bit of time to care for myself and you know, it's been completely about turning life on its head. My daily schedule, my attitude to life, and, you know, to kind of go at things with love all the time. And, you know, whatever struggle it is, to kind of pray for them and even pray for people who really, really hurt me. And, yeah, what about the lurch?
I'll leave it there.
Leave it there.